On today's show, we'll look at the importance of striving to be charitable, and we'll look at the mass readings for Sunday of the 19th week in Ordinary Time. It's all right ahead, so stay tuned. Hello there, welcome to the program. Come on in and make yourself comfortable. I am Gary Zimak, and I am thrilled to be back here on Block Talk Radio for our Friday edition of the program. Got lots of good things to talk about today. We're going to talk about the mass readings for the 19th week in Ordinary, the Sunday of the 19th week in Ordinary Time. And then in our Hidden Power of Kindness segment, we'll focus on the need to strive to be charitable. I don't know about you, but I wish it was automatic that the Lord could make me be nicer to other people. I think we all go through that at times, especially when we're struggling to be nice to one person or another. You know, that person that really pushes your buttons, they drive you crazy. If only I could just automatically love that person. Unfortunately, the Lord generally doesn't work that way. What he does is he gives us the grace to do it, but he expects us to do something too. I think that's always the toughest part of being nice to people or trying to overcome whatever your sins, your favorite sins are, the fact that you've got to work as hard as you can. And, you know, it's if we look at the fact that the Lord does most of the work and still we have to work hard, what that tells us is that we are incapable of doing very much on our own. And that's what we need to keep in mind. But the Lord still expects us to do what we can. I was at daily mass today. I was thinking about the fact that when the consecration occurs, the priest takes ordinary bread and ordinary wine, and through the power of the Holy Spirit, that is transformed into the body and blood of Jesus Christ. But he starts. The Lord started with the bread and the wine. And when he did this the first time at the Last Supper, that's exactly what he did. When he fed the 5,000, he started with the loaves and the fishes, what the disciples had with them. At the wedding at Cana, he asked the servers to fill up the jugs with water. The Lord could have just created the wine out of thin air. After all, he created everything out of nothing, but he generally doesn't work that way. And I think that's where it gets tricky for us. We are still expected to do the best we can, even though it may not be much. The Lord still wants us to cooperate with him, and then he can work miraculously through us. So we'll talk about the need to really strive to be charitable. In other words, we've got to work at it. We've got to bite our lip, and we've got to push ourselves when we don't want to be nice to that person. That's a challenge. So I think that's an important topic to discuss on the show today. In case you didn't get to hear it, my monthly program on Holy Spirit Radio in Philadelphia aired this afternoon. You can listen to the podcast by going to holyspiritradio.org and then just select local programs, Following the Truth, and you'll be able to listen to all of the podcasts that I've done on the station. I've been doing it for a few months now. Today's show was about seeking God in the storm, or seeking strength. I think I called it strength in the storm. And so many of us are going through storms in life. It's not always smooth sailing. Some people that I know are going through really hard times right now. But with the Lord, there is that peace, even in the midst of the storm. So I hope you enjoy the show. I got to play some music. I even played an Elvis song today. So I tried to pick songs that would... My songs are all over the place, but they really tie into the theme. I do some contemporary Christian. I do some popular music. I do some traditional Catholic music. I mix it up all to try to bring, to round out this theme that I have each week. And this week was all about just looking for comfort in the midst of the storm. And the Lord's there. The Lord's there, but we need to seek him out. We might not always feel him, but it's part of the process. I wish it was easier, but it really isn't sometimes. He wants us to grow in faith. What we need to do is trust that anything that happens to us, any feeling that he allows us to experience, pardon me, somehow will be good for us. That anyway, if you would like to listen to the show, that's holyspiritradio.org, and just look on local programs, Following the Truth, and you'll come to an archive of all of my shows. Today's beverage du jour, here we go. Some Mystic Monk decaf coffee we have going today. And if you're interested in getting some of the best coffee you've ever had, or the best coffee you've ever had, Check out Mystic Monk Coffee, available at followingthetruth.com. And any purchase you make from the from my website of Mystic Monk Coffee results in an additional profit for me. So I'm able to continue doing the show. So I appreciate in advance anything you'll be able to do there. And you'll also, by purchasing Mystic Monk Coffee, you'll support the Carmelite monks who brew up some fantastic coffee. So followingthetruth.com for more information. While you're there, you'll be able to invite me to speak at your parish, which I would love to do. You can see some samples of my talks. You can see endorsements of people who have heard me speak. And you can find out the details. And as always, you can email me directly at gary@followingthetruth.com if you want to set up a talk in your parish. Okay? Let's see. I guess that's about it for news. Yeah, I can't think of any other news right now. Total Consecration, September the 4th. It begins here. Stay tuned for more information. We'll do the 33-day preparation using Father Michael Gately's book, 33 Days to Morning Glory. If you already have the book, you're set. If not, I'll tell you how to get it at a very, very cheap price. But expect that to happen in the next 1 or 2 weeks. I'll do a show and I'll talk about it and maybe blog about it. I'm not sure how I'm going to handle it, but I want to get the word out because I want as many people as possible to be able to do this total consecration. It's a great thing. But stay tuned for more information about that. All right, let's pray because we've got a lot to do today. We have mass readings for Sunday to look at, and we also have to talk about the importance of striving for charity. But without further ado, let's turn to our Heavenly Father and ask for His blessing on all that we do and all of those in our lives. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Heavenly Father, we come to you on this Friday, and we're very thankful. On this Friday, we recall the sacrifice of your Son, Jesus, when he died on the cross for us, so that we could one day live with you forever in heaven. We're very thankful for that gift. We're thankful for the gift of another day. We're thankful for anything that you've given us in our lives. We're even thankful for the crosses that you have sent to us because we know that they can help us to get to heaven. We thank you for your unconditional love. We thank you for always being there when we want to speak to you. We ask you to help those who are sick. Help us, our family members. Help those who are lonely. Help those who are anxious. Help those who are struggling financially. Those who are suffering from religious persecution or extreme weather conditions. We ask you to help those who are struggling with addiction, those who are homeless, those who may be homebound and confined to their homes. We also present to you our own personal needs, our intentions. And I turn this show over to you, Father, and I ask you to speak through me this day. And please open our minds and our hearts to be able to hear and respond to your message. And we ask for these things in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. We turn now to our Blessed Mother Mary and ask for her help as together we pray. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of Peace, pray for us. Good Saint Joseph, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, thank you for tuning in to the program. I am Gary Zimek. We do the show every Monday through Friday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Now in our fifth year on Blog Talk Radio, you've heard me say this many times, but I never thought the program would last this long. But thanks be to God, we are still here. That's due to you and your support, your prayers, and all that you do to spread the word about the show. And to be honest with you, I'm very glad that you show up every night. It's really neat to have somebody to hang out with. Otherwise, I'd be sitting here drinking my coffee, reading my scriptures all by myself. But you make it very much fun to be with. So does that make sense? Boy, that is not a good sentence, is it? Make it very much fun to be with. You know what I mean. You're a lot of fun. I like having you here. You keep me company. How's that? Another sip of the coffee. Boy, sometimes, let me tell you, radio is not as easy as you would think. Sometimes I say some amazing things that just shock myself, but It's one of the ways the Lord keeps me humble. All right, let's talk about some Mass readings now. Sunday is the 19th week in Ordinary Time. Now, we've crossed over the line. We are past the halfway point of the liturgical year. There are 34 weeks in Ordinary Time, 33 Sundays in Ordinary Time, and then the 34th Sunday is the Solemnity of Christ the King. So we have 34 weeks in Ordinary Time. We are entering into week 19 this Sunday. So let's take a look at the Mass readings. Some good ones. The Gospel continues. The Bread of Life Discourse, John chapter 6. This has been building for the past few weeks, and this week we will continue. This is one of the most important sections of the Gospel that we can ever have, and we're going to continue this at least for next week, and I'm not sure honestly how many weeks we'll be doing this for, but this is a very, very important Gospel message for us, an important passage from the Gospel, this whole Bread of Life discourse, because it's so profound. I'm looking ahead as I'm talking to see how many weeks. Yeah, at least for two more weeks and maybe more. So let's get started. I'll talk about each reading, give you a little insight, and then we'll tie them all together. The first reading for this week is from the first book of Kings, chapter 19, verses 4 through 8. Strengthened by Elijah went a day's journey into the desert until he came to a broom tree and sat beneath it. He prayed for death, saying, "This is enough, Lord. Take my life, for I am no better than my father's." He lay down and fell asleep under the broom tree, but then an angel touched him and ordered him to get up and eat. Elijah looked, and there at his head was a hearth cake and a jug of water. After he ate and drank, he lay down again. But the angel of the Lord came back a second time, touched him, and ordered, "Get up and eat, else the journey will be too long for you." He got up, ate, and drank. Then, strengthened by that food, he walked 40 days and 40 nights to the mountain of God, Horeb. Now, I'm going to tell you, this is such an important message for us. If we look at the path of life, the path that we're walking on every day, without help, well, first of all, let's look at where it's leading. It's leading to eternal life. The problem is, it's possible for that eternal life to be spent in hell. That's not a good thing. You know that. But that's where our life is leading. It's not just leading to the unknown. It's leading to eternal life. Because we know that our soul is eternal. Our soul's not going to die. We will one day spend eternity in heaven or hell. How we act and how we cooperate with God's grace is going to determine where we end up. So without any help, the journey would be too much for us, and we would not reach our destination. That's just a fact of life. That is our fallen human nature. We can't do it by ourselves. Fortunately, the Lord isn't asking us to do it by ourselves. Elijah had had it. Elijah was tired. Elijah was ready to die, and he prayed for death. But what happened? The Lord wasn't ready for Elijah to die yet, and he nourished him with some food. And then he was told through the angel to get up and eat, or else the journey will be too long for you. So what did Elijah do? He got up, he ate, and he drank. Then, strengthened by that food, he walked 40 days and 40 nights to the mountain of God. That 40 days and 40 nights, that number 40 signifies testing. It's a period of testing. That is our life. Do you see that? We're headed to the mountain of God. We're headed to heaven. That's where God wants us to be. We are destined, our destiny is to live forever in heaven. That's God's plan. The Lord wants us to be saved. So that's his plan for us. And he gives us the bread of life to help us along the way. The more we receive that bread of life, the better our chances for getting there. That's why I'm a big advocate of daily communion, if you can possibly do it. Now, I understand not everybody can do it. You want to do it as often as possible because it really is going to help you. It makes it easier. It's tough enough to be good even if you're receiving communion every day. We still have challenges. At least for me it is. So I always recommend, if at all possible, you want to do that. Psalm 34 is, "Taste and see the goodness of the Lord. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be ever in my mouth. Let my soul glory in the Lord. The lowly will hear me and be glad. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us together extol his name. I sought the Lord, and he answered me, and delivered me from all my fears. Look to him, that you may be radiant with joy, and your faces may not blush with shame. When the afflicted man called out, the Lord heard, and from all his distress he saved him. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. Taste and see how good the Lord is. Blessed the man who takes refuge in him. Now, absolutely, the Lord is good, and the Lord loves you, and the Lord wants to help you. The Lord doesn't want you to struggle. So when you cry out, you will be saved. Make sure you cry out. If you're not praying every day, and if you're not reading your Bible every day, you know what old Gary says? That's a problem, and it is. It's a huge problem. You also want to call your mom every day. So you make sure you check in with the Blessed Mother every day. If possible, say a rosary. If you can't, three Hail Marys. But always check in with mom, too, because she's going to bring you to Jesus. And these are things we have to do. You wouldn't go a day without eating food to nourish your body. You wouldn't do that. So you certainly don't want to go a day without spiritual nourishment. And that's going to be through prayer, the Bible, and the Eucharist if possible. You also want to call mom to make sure that she helps you. These are things you want to do every day. You really have to. Otherwise, life is going to get the best of you, and you're going to stumble. And unfortunately, you don't want to stumble. We can't afford to stumble because the cost could be too high. Anything that jeopardizes your salvation is a huge problem. We want to take advantage of everything. I don't want to be appearing before the Lord when I'm being judged one day, when I die, and try to explain to him why I didn't take advantage of all the help that he was giving me. It's one thing to be before the Lord and say, Lord, I went to communion every day. I prayed. I read my Bible. I asked for help. I tried my best, but I just fell on my face. You would be in a better position saying that than if you said, well, you know, Lord, I messed up. I wasn't a good person, but yeah, I knew you could help me, but I was just too busy or I didn't have time for you. You don't want to be that person. You want to try everything that you can possibly try to stay close to our Lord and make it to the finish line and go to heaven. That's why total consecration to Jesus through Mary is so important. Every one of us can stand to be closer to Jesus. If the church gives us this great gift of total consecration to Jesus through Mary, and we're saying, no thanks, I got this, I'm telling you, that's a risky position to be in. So we want to take advantage of everything that the church gives us. That's why total consecration is a great thing. You know, it's one thing to mess up, but it's another thing to turn away the help that the Lord wants to give us through his church. And we don't want to do that. The second reading is from St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 4, verse 30. And then we shift over into all the way through Ephesians 5, verse 2. So we span chapters here. Brothers and sisters, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with which you were sealed for the day of redemption. All bitterness, fury, anger, shouting, and reviling must be removed from you along with all malice. And be kind to one another, compassionate, forgiving one another, as God has forgiven you in Christ. So be imitators of God as beloved children, and live in love as Christ loved us, and handed himself over for us as a sacrificial offering to God for a fragrant aroma. Here's the reminder again that we are called, St. Paul is telling us, remember, this is the inspired word of God. So God's telling us that we need to love one another, be kind to one another, compassionate, forgiving one another as God has forgiven us. Be imitators of God and live in love. We're going to talk about the power of kindness, exactly what we're hearing here in a few minutes in the second part of the show. But we don't want to try to do this on our own because, again, we're going to fail. We want to get all the help that we can when it comes to being good people. I can't be holy by myself. I need to turn to the Lord. And as we hear in the gospel, as we hear it foreshadowed in the first reading, we need to be fed spiritually. Who can do that? Jesus can do that. He can feed us spiritually. So with that being said, let's go to the Gospel, John chapter 6, verses 41 through 51. The Jews murmured about Jesus because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." And they said, "Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph? Do we not know his father and mother? Then how can he say, 'I've come down from heaven'?" Jesus answered and said to them, "Stop murmuring among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draw him, and I will raise him on the last day. It is written in the prophets, 'They shall all be taught by God.' Everyone who listens to my Father and learns from him comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the desert, but they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven so that one may eat it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world." I see in this reading, and this is just an incredibly powerful reading, all of these passages that are chosen from the Bread of Life discourse, they're phenomenal. I mean, this is total, this is as good as it gets when it comes to Catholic theology and the importance of the Eucharist. Right away, this reading starts off, the Jews are murmuring about Jesus because they said, "How can he be the bread from heaven? Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph? Do we not know his father and his mother?" In other words, how can this regular guy, one of us, be something so special? What is he talking about? And I think that it's very easy for us to criticize them and say, "Wow, they completely missed the point." But how about this? How many times do we feel that it's not that important to receive Jesus in the Eucharist, or not that important to be in his presence? We've got something else to do. Certainly we go to Mass on Sunday. Hopefully you go to Mass on Sunday because it's a holy day of obligation every Sunday. But how about during the week? I know you might have to work, but can you maybe get there on Saturday to receive our Lord in Saturday's daily Mass? Could you maybe visit him in the Adoration Chapel? But so many times we're busy because we really don't think that that's going to make a difference. And that's because we're walking by sight and not by faith. Because by faith we believe that we need the Lord. We need that strength that he gives us, that grace that he gives us in order to make it to heaven. I'll tell you right now, if we don't lean on him heavily, we're not going to make it. If we don't lean on him heavily, we are not going to make it to heaven. Because we can't get there on our own. And I say this a lot, but it's so true. I look at my own life and I realize how many times I mess up. I can't imagine how horrible I would be if I wasn't leaning so heavily on the Lord. So please take advantage of this great gift. And Jesus sums it up toward the end of this gospel passage when he said, "Your ancestors ate the manna in the desert, but they died. This is the bread that comes from heaven so that one may eat it and not die." The Lord's talking about eternal life in heaven. "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world." Now, of course, the people don't understand this yet because the Lord hasn't explained how this will be. He's talking about eating his body, drinking his blood. Sounds cannibalistic. But after the Last Supper, it will become clear. But unfortunately, he will still be rejected. You know better. You know how it happens. You know that that's him in the Eucharist. You've got that gift. Don't waste it, because you need it. All right, now if you have any questions, please email me, Gary@followingthetruth.com. We've got a couple minutes left. They were good readings today, boy. Let's talk about striving for charity. We're using the book Kindness by Father Lawrence Lovasik. It's a book published in the early 60s. I think too many times we feel that we just want God to change our temperament. Just make me be nice to everybody, Lord. But it doesn't happen that way. So we're going to talk about striving for charity. To acquire virtue, you must want to acquire it. Our Lord said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after holiness, for they will be fully satisfied." That's in Matthew 5, 6. So the first thing you and I have to do is say, "Lord, I want to become more charitable. I want to be more nice. I want to be kinder to people. I want to love you more, Lord, and I want to love those around me more. I want that. And I can't do it on my own, but I want that. And I'm willing to do what I can. You've got to make that commitment. Are you willing to make that commitment? Because if you are, then you're in good shape. He'll help you. But if you're not willing to work at it, forget it. The prize of life that St. Paul strove for surely included charity, for he deemed it the most excellent thing in the world. He knew the difficulties on the way and the frailty of his own nature, but he was not discouraged from carrying out his purpose. But a desire is not enough. You must make the necessary effort. So we've got that desire, right? That desire to become more charitable. Now comes the hard part. Now we have to make the effort. Are you willing to make the effort? Are you willing to do what you can do? If you really want to acquire charity, you have fulfilled your desire, at least in part. God would not give you a desire you could not fulfill. Since it's not enough only to desire to acquire some efficiency in charity, specific will action is indispensable. And the aiding grace of God obtained through the sacraments and prayer is absolutely necessary. So we need the Lord's help, right? We've got the desire. Next, we need his help through prayer and the sacraments. God's all-powerful grace and your goodwill work wonders when they're joined together. Victory is born of energy, willpower, and a childlike trust in the help of God. Even a partial success is worth 1,000 times the labor and fatigue you expended on it. If you're hindered in your striving for the beautiful ideal of charity or fall short of your mark, as long as you draw close to it by attaining to greater love for your neighbor, you will have achieved something that surpasses any other success in life. St. Paul exhorts us all in 1 Corinthians 14:1, be in constant pursuit of love. You know what your immediate duty is, to learn the art of kind silence, to strive for more readiness in rendering services, or to be more gentle. Apply the determination of your will to a limited object. If you neglect that which lies in your reach in order to snatch at something easier or more pleasing, you oppose the will of God. For God has permitted or arranged the things he wants you to do to attain charity. This divine grace may no longer be with you, and you will waste both time and effort. So in other words, if you have somebody in your life that is difficult to deal with, that's your person. That's the person who you must love. And that's hard for us. Move toward charity step by step, now by this good deed, now by that. You must practice charity in small things before you can accomplish greater things. If you win the prize of charity, then like St. Paul, you will be a very happy person. Seek the company of those who are models of kindness and let their example influence your life. Read about those who practice charity. Above all, pray for charity each day of your life. Ask for the virtue when you say your morning and night prayers. And when you go to confession, and above all, at Mass and Holy Communion, you receive the richest graces to make you grow in charity. Ask Jesus for the grace that you may know him ever better through prayer and sacrifice in order to love him more practically in your neighbor. Ask for the grace to see him in everyone. Ask for the grace to see him in everyone with whom you have contact. Ask for the expansion of the reign of true Christian charity among men and the triumph of Christ's kingdom of love over the hatred and injustice so rampant in the world today. The Creator has not withheld from any of his creatures innumerable possibilities to practice charity. And this is where you and I have to seek out these opportunities. They're going to come our way. They're going to be people in your workplace, maybe people in your home, maybe people around you at the store, wherever it may be, people that you can be nice to. This is your chance to be charitable. God's going to give you the opportunities. You need to ask for the grace and continue to do that. Remember, don't try to be nice all by yourself, but do something. Ask for the grace, then the opportunities will be there. Go after the opportunities. I'm going to be nice to this person. I'm going to smile even if I don't feel like it. I'm going to go out of my way. And by doing that, you'll be amazed at what happens. It's going to be a lot easier to think, but take the first step. You've got to do that. Believe it or not, we are out of time. It's a simple message, but it's an important one. When you go to church on Sunday, think about that bread of life, the Eucharist. Unimaginable graces contained therein. Now, God willing, I'll be back on Monday at 8 p.m. as we start a new week of the program. If you need anything, please feel free to email me over the weekend. God bless you, take care, and have a great weekend.